Well, it's started the resistance against Trump's ideas from foreign countries, and now we've got a little skirmish between the United States and Mexico, a canceled meeting. And in the most entertaining period in American history since World War II, Donald Trump never fails to come through. And now in the midst of a Muslim ban and illegal immigrant reevaluation, U.S. demands payments on the wall from a Mexico tariff. So what is going to happen here? What will be the result? So exciting. This guy is so much more interesting than Barack Obama. Barack Obama is like a dried fly in the windowsill compared to Trump in terms of excitement. And the funny thing is that Barack Obama was so in love with himself, so just totally infatuated with himself that, and I'm not saying that Trump isn't, because he very well may be infatuated with himself, but it comes across as if there's something that's more important that is driving the Trumpster. And but boy, is it interesting? I mean, are these interesting days or what? You know, I've just never seen anything like it. So gonna have a little reporting on that. 608, 27th of January. Really, really interesting days. And there's so much stuff that's going on. I cannot imagine a more interesting time. Now, Trump himself, you know, it's funny, the left delights in, and you know, the left is, the far left is really drunk on its own cocktails, and the left is so infatuated with itself and believes that it's the only group of people in the world in human history that are capable of creating art or drama or literature. And here is this guy Trump, who's arguably pretty conservative these days, and he is creating drama at a pace and scale that's unimaginable. I mean, this is like something out of Shakespeare on crack. And it is just so entertaining. It's so interesting. And here's the thing, all of these moves were thought out beforehand. So as they're laying down the presidential orders, which hilariously enough, the left cannot protest, because the left has already gotten down and worshipped Obama for his "I've got a pen, I've got a phone" presidential decrees. The left is in no position to stop that. The left is also in no position to shut things down, because through Harry Reid, that great malevolent bozo, got rid of the filibuster. Well, now you see what you get. Here's a little bit on Trump's border wall order, shaking up U.S.-Mexico relations. And this is from yesterday, Wall Street Journal. Sports fans, check this out.
An executive order on Wednesday calling for a wall on the U.S. border with Mexico and an increase in border control agents.
I just signed two executive orders that will save thousands of lives, millions of jobs, and billions of dollars.
The text of the executive order clarifies that wall shall mean a contiguous physical wall or other similarly secure, contiguous, and impassable physical barrier. While Trump is expected to divert tens of millions of U.S. government dollars toward funding of the estimated $10 billion project, he said Mexico will eventually pay back the costs in some form or another.
Mexico, in some form, and there are many different forms, will reimburse us, and they will reimburse us for the cost of the wall. That will happen, whether it's a tax or whether it's a payment, probably less likely that it's a payment.
The moves are shaking up longstanding commercial and diplomatic ties between the U.S. and Mexico. In the order Wednesday, Trump called for an assessment of foreign aid to Mexico, which could be a glimpse into how he intends to fund the wall. The executive order came on the same day Mexican officials met with members of Trump's inner circle, including Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, to hammer out a framework for Trump's meeting with Mexico's President Enrique Peña Nieto on January 31st. Wednesday's meetings ended without either side making immediate public comment. But Nieto released a video later Wednesday saying Mexico will not pay for any wall.
Mexico no cree en los muros. Lo he dicho una y otra vez. Mexico no pagará ningún muro.
Meanwhile, Nieto is facing mounting domestic.
Let me interpret that for you. No freaking way we pay for the wall.
Pressure to cancel the trip. It would be the first meeting between both men since Trump briefly visited Mexico last summer. On the planned agenda were Trump's threats to leave the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, which Trump has called the worst trade deal ever.
NAFTA is the worst trade deal maybe ever signed anywhere, but certainly ever signed in this country.
Whatever the costs and benefits, NAFTA has deepened the economic links between Mexico and the United States. The U.S. is Mexico's largest trading partner, while Mexico is number three for the U.S., behind Canada and China. But foreign investment in Mexico has dried up since Trump's election victory, and the peso has hit record lows. Trump's most recent steps are now spurring a backlash in Mexico, with Mexican officials threatening retaliation. Mexico's economy minister, Ildefonso Guajardo, threatened to leave the talks if the U.S. tries to force Mexico to pay for the border wall.
All right, that is from the Wall Street Journal, so it's pretty fascinating stuff. Now, just to think out all the implications of the Mexico-American relation, what's the argument for the wall being paid for by Mexico? The argument is that Mexico has literally done nothing to try to stop the people from coming over here. You might say that, well, that's not their responsibility. It's their people, or it's people that are passing through their country, and you've seen the trains. The trains absolutely covered with refugees or would-be refugees by the hundreds and thousands. I mean, so there is an argument there that they should pay for the wall. You can make that argument. And that Mexico inordinately benefits from the illegal immigration in repatriated funds, return funds, money's made in America and sent back to Mexico in the billions. And also, you can point out that there's a security concern which Mexico doesn't take seriously. Now, if you try to get into their country, what's it like? Totally different, right? Get thrown in jail, beat up, whatever. So we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more, but in, I know we've been playing some Frankie Sinatra, but here is a little Floyd for you. Another brick in the wall. And you're listening to AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523 1450 Kelly O'Connell. And this is the Pink Floyd. And it's actually, this video starts off with a bunch of people going by in a train, reaching out. Well, it is exciting days, but it's also probably for a lot of people nerve-wracking. But don't be nerve-wracked, friends, because what you're seeing is the net effect of a total lack of leadership for the last 8 or 10 years. And in the void of that leadership come many bad things. And so those things have to be dealt with. And, you know, this narcissist Obama, who is no longer in office, he created a lot, not only a lot of problems and disasters, but he laid the groundwork for many more. And this idea that he had that everybody in the world is a citizen of America, which is really tragic, and it is an enormous disrespect to America itself. It treats America and our history as toilet paper. Anybody can come in here and vote, as you heard the caller yesterday. Was it Chuckles who called in and said that if you vote, then you're a citizen? This is the president. The president is a smart aleck, you know. The president is more clever in his mind than anybody, any group of people. And so he twists the words around. He inverts the sentence. And suddenly it's not the people who are citizens have the right to vote. It's the people who vote are citizens. And it creates chaos. It creates a sense that there is no such thing. There's no definition of the country, because anybody from around the world is already an American citizen. And not only do we not have a right to protest or stop them, because the only thing that the government should do or can do is to bring these people in when they hit the border, but it would be wrong. It would be immoral to stop these people from coming in because they need to have a better life. You know, this kind of like childish foreign policy, this childish border policy, which is really underneath all of it, all of the smiles and all of the so-called well-meaning wishes, is really the evil of socialism. Socialism seeks anarchy because anarchy sows the seeds of revolution. Revolution is the fodder of socialism. It's also the father of socialism, because what it does is it overturns the societal order and makes necessary the bringing in of the heavy hand of the government, which never goes away after that. Anyway, here's a little more on the wall. And, well, this is, I'm looking for a clip that will, let me see here, folks. Let me get in. And, but anyway, so 523-1450, if you're opposed with the way that he's doing this, let me know. But you might say, well, this is going to cost us some more money. So America has been addicted to cheap prices, and that's one of the reasons that we've ended up handing over our sovereignty, is we're so addicted to cheap prices that anything that comes against that, we treat as just a complete cancer. And some things are worth prices going up. So and I'm looking, well, anyway, we can just discuss this. And Vicente Fox saying that we're not going to pay for the effing wall. As I recall, Vicente Fox was a failed leader. So as a former president, what is he bringing to the table? Now, we're also talking about this Muslim ban. Correct. So, but I, you know, the main thing right now, we've got this relationship with Mexico, and it appears to be on the brink, but, you know, I don't really think that, I think this is a necessary thing that we have to pass through. We have to pass through it because it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with because it was left, you know, the only thing that Obama did, like I say, is lay the foundation for anarchy and the destruction of the, you know, Obama must be mystified that America is not worse off after spending 8 years trying to undermine the country. And I thought it's kind of touching that the guy wants to be seen as a great leader in the history of America, and at the same time did so many harmful things. I find it sociopathic that he would desire that, you know. So let me see. Gosh, there's just so many clips here. All right, let's talk about the tariff, and let's talk about the possible impact. Now, there is this statement that if we get rid of NAFTA, it'll harm American relations, and it'll harm American farmers. And American farmers are already, you know, under the gun. How about this? We cut off all the cheap stuff coming in from Mexico, and we allow our own farm communities to regain their feet. How about that? Here is on the 20% tariff with Mexico.
On Thursday, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer abruptly floated and then just as suddenly walked back one plan to pay for President Trump's wall project on the U.S.-Mexico border.
If you tax that 50%, $50 billion at 20% of imports, if you think about what a tax, a border tax on imports from countries like Mexico that we have a huge trade deficit does, that's really going to provide the funding.
Trump's current plan is to fund the border wall construction with U.S. tax dollars, then somehow force Mexico to reimburse the country. But a 20% tax on Mexican imports isn't a great way to raise those funds. The increased costs could fall on consumers, and Mexico might impose its own tariffs in retaliation. It's possible Spicer was alluding to House Speaker Paul Ryan's plans to impose a border-adjusted tax, but it's hard to see Ryan's plans raising enough money for Trump's projects. The White House later said Spicer's comments were just one of many possible plans under consideration.
All right, but, you know, with every single thing that Trump has ever done, there it comes with a warning, you know what I mean? It comes with a warning, and people have to understand that every idea that Trump has ever had is a failure, is wrong, is immoral, is illegal, is unethical. It can't work. In the same way that his presidency could never make it. And so with that kind of opposition or with that kind of dialogue, here's the interesting thing about the left. The left wants to run everything, right? I mean, their main beef is that they're not running everything. And so because they're not running everything, they are going to throw down, they're going to do a total opposition. They're going to claim that the president is illegal. He is illegitimate, and therefore everything he does is illegitimate. So how does the left, let me ask you this from a practical question, the left either succeeds at delegitimizing the president or it doesn't. The left either gets him kicked out of office or gets him to give up and resign, whatever, or it doesn't. I don't see that happening. So what they're doing is forfeiting an opportunity to be involved in the process. If all you do is protest, if all you do is criticize, if it's just one criticism after another on every conceivable level, then what you've done is you forfeited the ability to be involved in well, to use the phrase, making America better. Because, you know, obviously Barack Obama, his goal, his job was not making America better. His goal in his mind was racial, it was economic, it was international, putting America in its place. For example, a great idea from Obama is to ask or demand for third bathrooms, or to force institutions or businesses to allow people of the opposite sex to be able to use the bathroom. That's their idea of a great policy. Now, how does that make America better? Makes us more fair, right? Or does it? I mean, or is it just a stupid idea that trips people up and causes needless conflict on an issue that basically nobody was talking about before the president brought it up? So now we're caught up in a lot of debates and issues that are actually meaningful and influential and have a lot to do with the future of America. And the left is deciding they're not going to be involved, because if the president is illegitimate, everything he does is illegitimate. Therefore, they're going to do everything they can to trip him up. And in the meantime, that just allows the president, who has total control through the House and Senate, to steamroll everything. 630 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. We'll be back, but here's a little bit Pink Floyd, The Wall. And great movie as well, of course.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
All right, so let's see here some headlines. The headline I have to drudge: A Week in Trump. Murdoch, $62 billion empire he and his family own. Peso crushed after president pulls out of Trump meet. I think it's stupid the president of Mexico pulls out of this meeting. I mean, why not share your thoughts, you know? United States border chief ousted as being part of the Vichy regime, part of the cooperating regime, helping Obama to flush the law, the immigration laws down the toilet and bring in as many immigrants as possible. Think of all the damage Obama did. So can we spend 4 years talking about what a terrible person Obama is, just the same way he did about President Bush? I can't believe President Bush has a warm relationship with those guys after getting blamed basically everything terrible. Massive fissure in Arizona desert, 2 mile crack in earth, very wide, and they want to know if it has something to do with the recent flooding and rains. Still looking, Virginia Zoo still looking for the red panda. Maybe the red panda went back to Russia, you know. Dogs are happiest when listening to reggae and soft rock. Do dogs like the Eagles? I wonder. That's some of their stuff is soft rock. Amputee cats given bionic paws and groundbreaking surgery. Well, that will give you pause on it. Scientists grow embryo part pig, part human. And I wonder if they nicknamed him Michael Moore. Surgeon media mergers expected. Collexit organizers collecting signatures to get secession on ballot. California leaves the United States. And you know what? Doesn't that help everybody? California is so screwed up. Now, here's a little bit more on the cost, the potential costs of imports. This is WCPO. The cost on imports, so 20% tariff, border tariff.
You can pay a whole lot more for things you buy that are shipped across the border, all in an effort to paper President Donald Trump's wall.
At this hour, the White House is now backing off that initial figure of 20%, but the thought of it has the tri-state talking.
Nine on Your Side reporter John Genovese is live with new reaction to the, quote, proposed policy. John?
Yeah, and guys, when you think of things that come from Mexico, you probably think of produce like peppers or avocados. But with this tax at the same price today, well, there'd be something missing. But this all goes far beyond food and even to cars. Manufacturers like Ford, GM, and Mercedes-Benz all make at least some parts in Mexico that could end up costing you more at the dealer.
Pacing the aisles in this Price Hill grocery store.
These bananas, they come also from Mexico. Tomatoes, they come from Mexico.
Owner Roni Perez says a fifth of the items here come from our neighbor to the south.
Most of vegetables like avocados, lettuce.
President Donald Trump is now considering a 20% tax on Mexican imports to fund the $12 to $15 billion border wall, raising questions about who will really be fronting the bill.
We're going to affect the American people. They're the ones that consume the products. They're the ones that use the products.
At the best, this might be considered an interesting experiment, but I think it's probably a pretty dangerous experiment to it.
George Vredeveld is a retired economics professor from the University of Cincinnati.
Our trade relationships with Mexico are very complex and they're very full.
Vredeveld tells me in the developed world, even with the goal of bringing jobs back, it's up in the air how many would.
The greatest danger is a trade war. We don't want to see this.
Red peppers, they come from Mexico also too.
And if prices go up, Perez says it will only hit the people he depends on.
We always have to worry because we always want to put customers first.
Now, hours after word got out about this proposal, the White House backed off a little bit. They now say this is just one of several options they are weighing to fund the border wall. For now, reporting live, John Genovese, 9 on Your Side.
Sure.
All right. So don't forget that Trump is famous for doing his, what do you want to call it, his negotiation. He starts off at 20%. What if he ends up at 7% and everybody's like, wow, he came down by 2/3. We really taught him a lesson. And inside, he's just laughing. All right, let's come back and talk about the Muslim ban from USA. What do you think about that? What do you think about banning these people from these foreign countries in which there is a radical number of radicals? And we got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. My name's Carl. You know, it burns my buns to hear the drive-by media and the politicians talk about how pure Mexico is. We sent them $75 million to strengthen their southern border. They get aid every year from us, and they charge our companies a 16% VAT on anything that's exported down there.
Value-added tax, for those of you who don't know, is a very European style of taxation, and it is brutal.
Yes, it is. It's just we were in England a couple of years ago, and I think theirs is only 15%. But if you're an American or any other foreigner coming in, you can file paperwork and get it.
Yeah. No, but, I know. And having lived over in England and Ireland for a couple of years, I didn't do that, and I regretted it. I could have had thousands of dollars to take back.
I know. But, you know, it just kills me because the drive-by media, as Rush calls them, and the liberals – keep harping on, and when Trump says they're going to pay for the wall, they will pay for the wall. I mean, I personally, as an American citizen, I wouldn't ship another nickel's worth of anything to Mexico until they straighten out their act, but that's just me.
Well,
I have to agree with the president.
Carl, I think we need to get past this Walmart idea that the best things are the cheapest. There's got to be something that's more important to America than just only cheap prices. I mean, if you went to China to look at these iPhone factories and found out that China imprisoned Christians because religion's illegal, and found out that Christian slaves, prisoners were making iPhones so that you could get a cheap iPhone, how many Americans would approve of that?
You're right. You're absolutely correct. Now, but that information, that truth is never presented to the American public. Well, the way it should be, you know, the liberals and the drive-by media. There's always one side, and the side is the worst side. They never really present it, the facts, the way they are, and it's very aggravating.
It's kind of this what they call Manichaean thinking. It's either black or white. It's right or wrong, and the media is so marinated in this politically correct idea, and the way political correctness goes after stuff. Is like you say, there's one statement or one fact that's right and everything else is wrong, and if you don't agree with it, you'll be destroyed.
Absolutely. One last thing. I miss when you're not on the air because they put Glenn Beck on at 7 and I can't stand that man.
Yeah, no.
At all.
I got a real beef with Glenn Beck. I agree with you.
I wish you had 4 hours to take up his two because I like your program.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, folks. Playing a little piano tonight in Cafe Go-Go. So you can come down and hang out if you want. And I guess I should learn that song, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. It's kind of a political song, but don't play a large number of political songs. But here we go. This is a salute to Mexico and Donald Trump. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. Pardon me while I continue to punt Obama, Barack Obama, to the curb, but somebody pointed out something that during his first term, he spent a lot of time playing basketball and smoking cigarettes, which is absolutely true. I mean, so if George Bush or Donald Trump or Reagan or anybody else, George W.H. Bush, God bless him, smoke cigarettes, how many pictures would we have of them smoking cigarettes? You know, hundreds of thousands, right? By the way, if you ever want to get a, you know, get a kick, go to Google and look up Jay Cutler smoking. And there is what they call a meme, a picture, a lot of times a fake comedic picture that is put out. But there are thousands of different, because Jay Cutler is he's the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And he's always got a look of disdain or disinterest. He acts like, you know, professional sports making $20 million a year is something that someone forced him into, blackmailed him into. But he's just totally, he's pictures of him smoking in the huddle, smoking on while throwing a football, smoking on the sidelines, and just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But you would have seen so many pictures of these guys smoking. But everything is purified. When you're living in a socialist empire, what you have is the media, which is not there to report. It's there to put out propaganda. So everything is filtered and shaped, reformulated like a hot dog. Only not as healthy as a hot dog. But all right, so here we go with, see next here for you, temporary ban on refugees. Let's shift gears here, and this is Trump talking to David Muir, probably a fake name, but here we go.
And it's countries that people are going to come in and cause us tremendous problems. Our country has enough problems without allowing people to come in who in many cases, or in some cases, are looking to do tremendous destruction.
Which,
you look at what's happened. They have a whole list. You'll be very thrilled.
That's President Trump explaining his executive order to temporarily ban refugees, the one that he wants to sign. The draft of it has been obtained by CNN, and it shows that President Trump is considering a ban on refugees trying to enter the U.S. for up to 4 months. There will also be a 30-day ban on individuals traveling from these, on your screen, quote, terror-prone countries. Let's discuss this with Khazir Khan. He, of course, is the gold star father of fallen.
Oh, gold star father. Hold on a second here. Let me get the names. Libya, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Somalia, Sudan. Now, here's this guy you're going to hear next. Kaiser Sosa Khan, the con artist. I went and when he got up and talked about my ghost star mother and the United States. And this guy is a Sharia law expert. I tried to buy his article, but it would have been like $35. And I'm thinking, I'm not giving $35 to this nutbag, this guy that comes in from another country to attack America in the guise of being a gold star family. Anyway, here we go.
Let's discuss this with Khazir Khan. He, of course, is the gold star father of fallen U.S. Army Captain Khan. Mr. Khan, thank you very much for being here with us. What did you think when you heard of Mr. Trump's new plan to ban people coming in from his so-called terror-prone countries?
Ellison, I am saddened to hear this. We were hoping that this xenophobic rhetoric will end with campaign, but it has continued because this administration has surrounded itself with the people that are utterly racist and xenophobic. Let me explain briefly to you that the vetting process that is in place from refugees from war-torn Syria, you ask any intelligence policy leader, they will tell you that it has worked very well in favor of United States and for its safety
United States
and security. So to tell us that this vetting process needs to be changed now is misleading.
Oh, yeah. So how do these people get in the country and then they go, postal and they shoot people? And how does that happen, Kaiser? Kaiser Sosa, con artist. You know, and here's another thing with these people like this Kaiser Khan. They come from another country. This is another thing that the media is just expert at. They bring people in from other countries, and I hate to say it, but what's that guy's, Piers Morgan and this other idiot that took over the show? They come in from another country, but they know more about the reality than we do, you know, because they're enlightened. They come from Europe or they come from the Middle East. They know more about being an American than American does, of course, because we've fallen away from Americanism. This guy is not only a Sharia law expert, he's published on it. He's a world expert, like Trump said when he interacted with these people, and he's published. And his book, or his I think he's written some books and definitely articles, are cited repeatedly by other authors. So for this guy to come on and act like, you know, they're American, they're not into Islam, is just an absolute joke. And everybody knows, because everybody has heard the facts, that we don't have any way to vet people from Syria. They don't have any paperwork. We'll take another break here, Kelly O'Connell. Kaiser Khan, go back to Pakistan. Stop talking, getting on TV and talking down to a good, upstanding American. 653, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 1450. Shame on you, con artist. All right, so here is a little Greg Hahn for you. Couldn't make it in the office live, a little comedy for you.
All right, let's talk about something serious. Sir, what do you do for a living? You look like an expert or something, like a director, like a madman, artistic madman, lunatic, great at something. Are you Mr. Universe 1964? What are you, man? You're a legend. Okay. Back to me. That's how I meet people. That's how I work the crowd. I kind of dominate the conversation. Nice to have you here. I don't know how you get a real job. People with a real job, you got to take a drug test. I say if you hit the cup, pass. Right? Some of you people go so far as to get employee of the month. What kind of a lunatic keeps a job for an entire month? Be real! Anybody here with human resources? Anybody here work for
human resources?
Greg, can we speak to you for a moment in human rights? I hate human resources. I love human resources. That's what I was saying. You don't like them? You got to go to the job interviews. They always ask you questions in the interview. They try to make you sabotage yourself, don't they? So tell us, where do you think you could use improvement? As if you're going to say, well, where do I start? I've got the IQ of a cheese sandwich. I cannot stop throwing staplers. I'm no stranger to prison. I'm a fighter. I love to bite. I hate soap. Electroshock therapy didn't even make a dent. I make the same mistake dozens and dozens of times. And I'm prone to injury, so bring on the benefits, Aflac. I got my own handshake. It's called Crumple Pillow. I hate teamwork, and I never tell the truth. How long is this interview? I'm getting burned out. I enjoy trash can fires. When do I start?
All right, folks. Greg Hahn. I think I saw the guy live one time. here is your takeaway thought. Another brick in the wall. Kelly O'Connell, 6:59 a.m. Las Cruces AM 1450, 5234, 1450. We'll be back. Okay, so we've got the ban from the Muslim countries, and we've got the border wall going up and the attempt to make Mexico pay for it. Now, whether you agree with that or not is a different issue than whether, you know, there's the promise and then there's the idea of whether what the policy is a good policy. So, you know, the upshot is that he ran on promises and he's doing the promises. So once again, while the left flips out and the left is, I mean, you've got to look at the left and see how unhinged they are and just absolutely crazy. They would do anything to discredit Trump. They would take the greatest newspaper in the world, maybe the greatest newspaper in history, the New York Times, and destroy the whole thing in order to go after Trump and not even achieve their goal, you know? Well, here's a little bit on the sanctuary cities, and it is the 27th. And let me get you some temperature out there, 31 degrees, and 27th of January. This is, by the way, on sanctuary cities. Mayors fighting Trump's sanctuary city order. Do you think that a mayor of a city has the right to say we're opposed to federal law on this level and we're not going to enforce it?
Tower of Fear, we are Americans.
Defiance for the White House's executive order on sanctuary cities comes not just from the streets, but from city mayors. Chicago.
But I want to be clear, we're going to stay a sanctuary city.
Boston.
If necessary, we'll use City Hall itself to shelter and protect anyone who's targeted unjustly.
Los Angeles.
You can't use federal money as a gun to the head to change some other policies.
LA's mayor says federal funds weave through nearly all city services. Law enforcement, schools, veterans care.
I'm talking to all mayors in this country.
Are the mayors going to unite to draw a line in the sand?
We have. We want the federal government to protect those folks who've gotten temporary legal status, and we want the overall system to be fixed.
One thing that many mayors of sanctuary cities say is broken: undocumented immigrants being held in local jails until federal authorities come to deport them. Many cities argue the extended detention is unconstitutional and costly. Trump's executive order demands cities follow federal rules or federal funds will stop. The president is fulfilling a campaign promise after the death of Kate Steinle. She was killed by an undocumented immigrant released from a local jail in San Francisco, even though federal agents targeted him for deportation.
Please,
Kelly.
Hey, who's this?
It's been one injustice.
Yeah, this was Marty.
Marty, hold on. Let me put you on hold. That
all turns around beginning today.
Some estimates more than 300 cities and counties are so-called sanctuary cities. While it's unclear exactly what federal funding the order would cut, San Francisco estimates it receives $1 billion in federal funds. New York, nearly $9 billion. New York's mayor telling CNN if Trump pulls funding, his next punch will come in court.
If an attempt is made to do that, we will go to court immediately for an injunction to stop it.
Well, you know what? I think people across America would cheer if Trump did that. And we've got Marty here. Marty, good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Hi, good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
I wanted to let you know that the abortion clinic, 3900 Lowman, in a surprise announced, or it was unannounced, actually. It was a surprise to all of us. We're in the middle of our 40 days for life. They started taking down their signs, I think, on the 25th. And
we're not
allowed
closing?
To go down in front of the clinic.
Are they closing?
It looks like it. Yes, sir. It's if you go to the Pro-Life and Los Cruces website, they have pictures of the signs being taken down and stuff. And we're blown away, quite frankly. And I want to let you know and your listeners know that at 10 o'clock today, we will be holding a pro-life rally at 3900 Lowman, right there at behind that pizza place. I can't think of the name of it right now. But where the abortion clinic used to be on Lowman at 10 o'clock between 10 and 1.
Dion?
It'll be.
The Dion's?
Yeah, Dion's Pizza behind them. Was behind them. Past tense. And the other thing, Kelly, is I didn't catch your announcement. What's the deal? Are you going off the air?
Well, I can't really get into it, but there is.
Oh, I thought you could today. I thought today was a big announcement.
Yeah, well, you know.
Things change, huh?
But,
okay.
Sorry, Marty. Keep going.
I'm going to just say, let your management there, your program director know that if they take you off, whoever replaces you, especially if it's going back, I will not patronize the business, the local businesses that are advertising.
Well, I can honestly say that Glenn Beck is not coming on to replace me. Nobody's coming on to replace me. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to let you know you got my support and hundreds, if not thousands, of others here in Las Cruces. I know since I moved here about 2.5 years ago, I found you about 2 weeks after I got here, and I've been listening to you faithfully every day for a couple of years. And I make it a point to go to the businesses that advertise locally.
Well, I appreciate that, Marty. I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate the support. But there's sometimes forces in work that are bigger, so you just have to roll with the punches.
I know, sir. Yep.
All right, Marty. Thanks for the call. All right. Thanks for the support. Have a great day. Thanks for protesting against murder of the unborn.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. I've never heard a good argument for abortion. I've heard many arguments. I've heard many. I've never heard one that couldn't be demolished. But anyway, it's a sick society that thinks it has to kill children to make life better. I mean, that's a total contradiction. But we do have another phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Randy.
Randy, good morning. Hope you're well. How are things?
Good. Hey, I was reading last night about Miami-Dade. They never declared themselves to be an actual sanctuary city. But what happened was they said that the federal government didn't pay for these 100 prisoners that ICE wanted held. And the bill was going to be $50,000. So they let these people go. All right? But they're receiving $360 million in federal aid. So they let these 100 people go over 50,000. And now all at once Trump sent out an order saying that he was going to take their money. And now the mayor sent out a letter saying that they would abide by all laws rather than put this money at risk.
Yeah, I put a clip up. But I hope that somebody like Rahm Emanuel, I hope that he gets up and gets in a fight with Trump, because Rahm Emanuel is a failed leader. He's a demagogue. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have the right principles, because he was Obama's right-hand man and helped destroy the fabric of the country during his time there. And I'd love to see them pull all federal funding from Chicago and watch it collapse, and the federal government would have to come in and run everything over there. Rahm Emanuel is a despot. He's a demagogue. He should not be in office.
In Miami-Dade, they said that of that $360 million, most of it goes to running homeless programs and elderly programs and things like that. So when the people come down to, well, do we want to enforce the laws, or would we rather see this money come into our communities that's going to affect me, they're going to stand up and, you know, and then when this same stuff where they're going to start posting the names and cities of these illegals that are committing crimes.
Yep.
Wall of shame or whatever. That's
yep.
That's yep. going to be effective too.
Yeah. Good idea. Good call, Randy. Have a good day. All right, folks. Got to take a break here, and we've got a little bit of Frank in honor of Trump. 716 on the button, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450 on the 27th, about 31 degrees outside. We'll be back.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
She has the baby. She has the baby. She brings him home, you know, which is what you do with them. You know, you drop it out, and you're like, I'll take that to go. And then you wrap it up and put a date on it, like a little tortilla or something. So she's got the kid home, and he's home for like a week, very tiny, 1 week. And she's like, oh, I have to go to the store. Can you watch him? And I was like, no, I can't. I don't know what about you having a baby all of a sudden makes me qualified to care for a baby. I didn't take a class or read a pamphlet or you gotta train for 2 weeks to be a busboy at TGI Friday. You're gonna hand me an infant, no questions asked. You're a bad mom already. I don't know anything about babies. I don't know anything. I know don't shake them. Or feed them chocolate. I think that's what you're going to do. I'm irresponsible. I can't watch your kid. I'll go over to somebody's house and break something and slide it under the couch instead of telling them about it. You can't do that with a baby. You know what I mean? Like, eventually somebody's going to say, hey, where's my baby? Why's my couch here?
Time Warner Cable is now Spectrum.
I recently found out I'm not a fighter. That's fun to know. I found out when I got punched in the face a lot in a row. I was like, oh, this isn't for me. You know, I'm actually going to stop doing this as soon as he starts punching me in the face. Probably going to retire with an 0-1 record. Hang up the gloves. Anybody ever been beat up so well that they actually become impressed with how good the other guy is at fighting?
All right, 7:20, and I've got some. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, sir. Chuck. Just wanted to let you know to say, do take you off the air. I'm going to miss your program because it provides information that I don't get anyplace else. And I think it would be a crying shame.
I do appreciate that. Folks, what's going on is bigger than my show being taken off the air. You can use your imagination. But let me put it to you this way, and a lot of people don't understand, and I didn't understand until I started working at a station. The economic model is, obviously, TV and radio are things that are kind of in the public sphere and public interest and everything. But ultimately, it is a business, you know?
Yeah, I understand that, but still, I would miss it. I would miss it a lot.
I appreciate it.
And I don't know any other outlet where we would get what we get from you.
There is no, and that's one of the reasons that I've kind of stuck with the show. I mean, I've dealt with, exhaustion really for a long time. But I felt because of my second job, but I really felt like it's important to have this show because it's a live show. It's local. We can discuss, we can discuss anything on here. And then I do try to put out as much stuff that you wouldn't necessarily normally hear on the show and let people talk about it and think about it. But I do appreciate the support, Chuck.
Well, I've often wondered how in God's name you could keep going with the hours you must keep.
Yeah, I'm not a person to kind of complain about, poor me, but it has been very challenging. And one of the problems is I tend to be a night owl, so I tend to burn the candle on the other end. And, it does affect your health after a while.
Well, good luck to you, whatever happens. Good luck, and I hope you find another way to do what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, and have a great day, Chuck. I appreciate the support very much. Okay, bye-bye. All right. Understand that all things being equal, we don't have thank God we don't have a state-sponsored media, but the alternative to that is that it is contingent to make a profit to stay open, It's something the government doesn't have to worry about. Well, I guess even the government has to make a profit of some kind so that it can be in the black. But, all right, so here's a little bit from Miami-Dade, which is what Randy had referred to at 7:23. And Sanctuary Cities.
Miami-Dade County's mayor instructed jail officials in the South Florida community on Thursday to honor all immigration detainer requests, a day after President Donald Trump signed an executive order that would strip federal funding from sanctuary cities. Mayor Carlos Jimenez sent a memo to the county's corrections director saying jails should hold undocumented immigrants detained by police.
All right, sorry about that. I try not to ever play a clip with a robotic voice, and I don't know why. If someone goes to the trouble of putting a clip together, why they would use those programs. So anyway, all right. So here's the question. You've got people across the United States who are, because of number one, a misunderstanding of the way the law works or just a complete rejection of it. And also because the previous administration only enforced the laws that it wanted to. That was their theme anyway. These sanctuary mayors and sanctuary county managers, whatever, sanctuary governors, don't have the right to. Now you can say, I'm open to having a debate about this or a discussion about it. You can say that they do have the right because that's the right thing to do. The two different ideas. Number one, what is the law? Rule of law, state, rule of law, country, you have to follow the law. Now, you can argue in some cases it's important to not follow the law. So the classic example, slavery. If there was a sanctuary city for slaves, would there was slavery, would most people in the country support that? Well, the people who are opposed to slavery would, but this is apples and oranges different. You know, you can understand that slavery was an illegal activity and immoral. It was unethical. It was a grotesque violation of human rights, and it was very dangerous to the slaves. You can say, well, if you have a sanctuary city for these people, and there were places, you know, the Underground Railroad for slaves to go north, but this is not that situation. Having people coming from other countries that are little understood, we don't know anything about the backgrounds of individual peoples. For those people to show up on the border, and because of a mistake or a failure of leadership in this country, for them to come here and say, we've got a right to be here, you don't. You have a if you get accepted into the immigration process, you have a privilege to come in, but you don't have a right. You're not an American citizen. Now, if Obama and all his buddies call the illegals American citizens, that doesn't change the facts, the dictionary. But this idea that, you know, these far leftists, and you have to understand something about far leftism. It is what they call antinomian, anti-against, nomos law. That's Greek, antinomian, anti-law. They're anti-law people because they have a commitment to ideas and principles and outcomes that are totally outside, in their mind, above the law. So when Obama says, you're a citizen because you vote, which is a complete inversion of the idea that you become a citizen and then you vote. So what I was saying yesterday, they believe they have their own natural law. It's a variation of natural law. But they have a right, you know, as human beings, to defy the law. They have a natural right to express themselves. Now, they've got to be willing to face the consequences. How are the people in these cities, many of which are already mismanaged cities? Chicago is the most dangerous city in the United States, one of the most dangerous cities in the world. Does Rahm Emanuel, who's a terrible, terrible leader, a terrible person, a demagogue, does he have the right to bring these people in and declare his area free of federal law that he disagrees with? He doesn't have the legal right, of course. Does he have the moral right? Well, as I've already argued, it's not like slavery. Now, if he is going to do this, they're already underfunded. They're already desperately fighting against failure in so many different ways. But number one, could his city survive without federal funds? No way. No freaking way. Number two, is it the moral, if you want to make a moral argument, an ethical, equitable argument, that he's got the right to bring these people in and protect them there? Chicago, a safe enough place to bring people in to protect them? I say once again, no. So Rahm Emanuel, you were wrong on so many different levels. Kelly O'Connell and Rahm Emanuel's a freaking joke, and I mean, you can take that to the bank. We'll take and we do have another phone call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show is this.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Carlos.
Yes, Carlos, I'm glad you called in because we get a little pushback here. To point out where I'm mistaken.
No, I'm actually calling to let you know that I will personally miss your show if you're taking off the air, because I do listen to your radio show, talk show every morning as I commute from Denning to Las Cruces. And not necessarily that I agree, you know, all of the time with you, but I think that that's the beauty of this country, that you have the right to listen and then to voice your opinion. But you're talking about the far left and then the far right, and I think that I mean none of the two are correct. I think that sometimes what makes America great is that people in the middle, the people that actually that can objectively, truly try to think about things, and then just vote in you know, in the direction that the country needs. Because if you go to the extreme right, that's too idealistic. If you go to the extreme left, that's not the way to go either. But anyways, at the end of the day, what I am calling to tell you is that I will be greatly missing your show, because I do enjoy it. And I always, you know, like try or like to listen to what other people, how other people think, especially someone like, you know, of your caliber, you know, with your level of education and your level of thinking.
Thank you, Carlos. I really appreciate it, man. I'll miss
you. Have a good day.
You too. Have a good day. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. So, well, you know, it hasn't happened yet. So, but don't blame the management. The management is trying to. Here's the thing, and you've got to understand this. And if you live here, you do understand it. For the same reason that we desperately need a talk show format, is because there's an underrepresentation generally of the ideas of the conservative movement. Is the same reason that it's hard to make it here, is because the conservative population of this town is small. You know, it's, I think, maybe 35% registered Republican. So, you know, you're up against it. And, you know, don't blame someone for trying to save their business or trying to get more established. And as you read in the paper, there was a change in ownership. So please don't call up and, you know, take out, you know, vent your wrath on the management. They're just trying to survive. 7:32, and we'll be back in just a second. Kelly O'Connell Show. I do appreciate the calls of support, though. It's meaningful.
523-1450. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
Seven:36, and we're talking about some changes and stuff. But you know, I really have been amazed at just talking about the previous topic. The number of business people that I've interacted with who have, you know, requested that I talk about some issue or you know, express support from the show, and I have asked them repeatedly, would you consider sponsoring the show? The only business that's ever sponsored the show is on any kind of a permanent basis is obviously Rossin's Builder Supply. And so I think, you know, we don't really have representation in this town for our ideas and to push back and get information out there. And yet at the same time, the people that have the most at stake, I think, are business people, and they're not interested in supporting it. And the demographics of the show are fantastic, higher income and higher educated people. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of got, I gave up getting frustrated over it. It's just, you know, one of those things. But, you know, I've had people that I asked to advertise on the show, and then they'll say, well, we don't do radio advertising. And then some period of time after that, I'll hear an ad for their business on the, you know, on the four networks or the four stations. And it's like, you gotta be kidding, you know, but that's life, you know. It's a small city. There's not a lot of money here, and I understand there's precious little money to invest in advertising, but you gotta support the things that you think that are important. But we have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Hey, Roger. Good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I listen to your show all the time. You know, a lot of times I don't have time to call and everything, but I listen all the time, and I enjoy it. I don't agree with you a lot of times, but I enjoy it, and thank you very much if they take you off the air.
Well,
hope they don't.
Thanks, Roger. I do appreciate that, and have a good day. Well, I mean, so there's something in the works, and it's bigger than the show, and I don't want to get into details of it anymore, but I'm not really losing my show per se. If you can kind of fill in the blanks, you probably can figure it out. But I just think it's it's like this thing with Trump in the border and this fight with Mexico. It would be worth it in some instances for the price of produce to go up a little bit for us to hold our position. If you've got some, especially business people, I would say to consider investing in the, as far as I know, this is the only entity in town that is defending capitalism. Then there's a lot of ignorance and misinformation out there. But you've got city leaders who state that they are opposed to growth. You've got a company going out of business with 400 jobs, and it's a catastrophe. And the reason it's a catastrophe is the same reason we've got thousands of empty commercial properties in this town. It's a catastrophe because nobody here in leadership believes in growth except for people like Ben Rossum. So it's daunting. You know, the struggles in this town to a great extent have to do with a lack of a viable economy, just like in Mexico itself, pardon me, New Mexico, where one industry trips, you know, the oil industry, and it is a massive issue in the entire state, because any economy based on one sector is going to be always at risk. So, I think what we need is leadership in the city to come in and push back against the people that are in power now, and say your idea. I mean, if you were starting a community, would it ever occur to you to go around and tell people, and by the way, we're no growth? I mean, we're not going to have an economy per se. That would be crazy, right? So the people who are in power who are stating these things already have their source of income, and they don't care about poor people. Half or a quarter of the people in this town are under the poverty line. Another quarter are just above the poverty line. Half of the people in this town are extremely at risk financially. They're suffering, and the leadership of the city still feels justified and extremely self-righteous in getting up and saying we're a no-growth area. So, all right, here's a little bit on Trump and his campaign promises at 7:42.
It's been a great week. We have accomplished a lot.
Well, that's what I want. First, I got some time to talk with you earlier in the week in the Oval Office. And the thing that really stood out to me is you seem to be enjoying yourself and very focused on all the promises you made in the campaign. Is it your intention to keep every promise?
Well, I'm going to keep as many as I can. You know, politics is tough. Sometimes you make a promise, and for some reason you can't because you have opposition on the other side that raises their hand and they make it impossible. But I'm going to keep a lot of them, and I've kept a lot of them already. Everyone's talking about it. And we're going to do things that I said we were going to do, and we're going to take care of a lot of people that were mistreated by government for many, many years. And that's really how I won the election in the first place, Sean. You know that better than probably anybody.
Let's talk a little bit about the executive orders on Syria, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, and 120 ban. That goes to the promise of extreme vetting.
Totally extreme. And beyond just those countries, we're going to have extreme vetting. We're going to have extreme vetting for people coming into our country. And if we think there's a problem, it's not going to be so easy for people to come in anymore. You look at what's gone on. I mean, we could just go one after another, but then you go to other countries and you look at Nice, and you look at different places all over Europe, and you look at what's happening with Germany. It's a mess. The crime is incredible. And we're just not going to let that happen here.
Would it be gambling if, at some point when there is a procedure in place, if you can't ascertain whether or not somebody's been radicalized or not, or if radical groups actually train some of their soldiers to say the right things to get in. But if you can't positively ascertain they're safe and find out what's in their heart, does that mean no go? You won't gamble?
Well, I tell you what, you use the right word, gamble. We don't want to have gambles. Our country has a lot of problems, well beyond this. And I found out a lot over the last week. I mean, we have serious difficulties. We don't need another difficulty. Right now, the FBI has over 1,000 investigations going on. 1,000.
In all 50 states.
All over the place. And these are people that we let in. We don't need this. All right? We don't need this. Some people have come in with evil intentions, and, you know, most haven't, I guess. But we can't take chances. You know, the word gamble is an appropriate word. It's a big gamble. You're throwing something up. Look, I love this country. You love this country. We can't let this continue to happen. We've taken in tens of thousands of people. We know nothing about them. They can say they vet them. They didn't vet them. They have no papers. How can you vet somebody when you don't know anything about them and you have no papers? How do you vet them? You can't. When you're sure.
All right. So that's what's going on. We'll take a break here. And 745, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. You know, there's a possibility of reincarnation in some other venue, but I do feel bad about the representation of the conservative movement in this town and the ideas. The important thing is to get the ideas out there and to go after and destroy these stupid and harmful policies that are put out by these blind, mindless leaders, like, you know, that at city council and county commission, that are, you know, you've got a, you know, the Flying Dutchman, the ghost fleet. The people voted a couple of times against the bus system. The people knew better than the leadership, because the leaders bring this in at cost of millions of dollars. Nobody rides it. These people get up and say, I guess you were right, we apologize. No, they double down. They always double down. It's like Obama on Obamacare. It's not working. Well, you know what? Give it some time. And what happens during that period of time? The price skyrockets, the coverage shrinks, and the deductible goes through the roof. It's an insane policy and evil people. It's an evil person who would do something like that. I don't know how else to describe them. We'll take a break and be right back. 746 AM, Las Cruces, 1450, 523-1450.
I did what I had to do. Saw it through. Without exemption.
It's 751, and I had mentioned Delphi, this ancient, where the Oracle of Delphi was, and Delphi became the center of Greek politics and really economics in some kind of bizarre way, and prophecy. So here's a little bit. It's so fascinating. Wanted to play the clip for you. There is a way to explain Delphi that is very kind of satisfying. So check this out. The secrets of the Oracle of Delphi.
The strangest.
Pardon me. Let me just reboot this. I had the sound down.
For thousands of years, the Oracle of Delphi was one of the strangest enigmas of the ancient world. Here it was believed the gods spoke, their words rising from a bubbling chasm in the rocks. But could there be a rational and scientific explanation for what has long been dismissed as legend?
There are ancient descriptions of gases. What gases could that be?
There's a fissure in the earth. There's a gas that comes out of it. It used to be strong. Now it's weak. It's just a matter of science.
Using toxicology, chemistry, geology, and archaeology, two scientists have uncovered the mystery of the Oracle of Delphi. Thousands made the pilgrimage to this place. Philosophers and supplicants, merchants and kings, all climbed the steps of Delphi to the secret temple of Apollo, the place of prophecy.
In the heyday of the oracle, in the 7th, 6th, 5th centuries BC, when this was the most important source of wisdom in the entire Greek world, where every major decision that was made was checked out by sending someone to Delphi to get the advice of the god. People came to ask the oracle where to found a colony, when to start a war, who to choose as a leader.
It was a pilgrimage that began before the birth of Christ and continued into the modern age. Among its visitors today are American archaeologist John Hale and Dutch-born geologist Jelle de Boer. Although they arrived here separately, their paths crossed by chance in 1995. Together, they embarked upon an obsessive 7-year quest to discover the truth behind Delphi's powers.
I was excavating a Roman villa that, in the view of my colleagues and myself, might have been hit by an earthquake. And we heard that this geologist was in the area with a specialty of studying earthquake damage. We asked him to come look at our site. We were sharing a bottle of wine. We talked about other sites we visited. And he said to me, just in passing, well, John, you should have been with me when I went to Delphi in Greece. I saw the fault that runs under the Temple of Apollo.
And he said to me, you know, that's sort of fascinating, but still, are you sure that there are faults there? And I said, oh, yeah, I can more or less prove geologically that there is a continuing fault below the site and that there might be many others as well.
And I was really glad to be able to tell him, Jelle, you're wrong about that. There is no fault under the Temple of Apollo at Delphi. Archaeologists have dug there and proved that that is a myth. He became very incensed. He asked me if I would know a fault if I saw one, and I had to confess I wouldn't. So it sort of rocked me back on my heels to be challenged in this way by a geologist on a subject that I had taken as gospel. And he was so confident and so sure about this fault that really shook me.
De Boer's theory contradicted the historical records of 1884, when French archaeologists first began excavating Delphi.
But when they first began to excavate, they started at the bottom of the slope, and they stripped away the modern, the medieval.
All right, we're not going to have enough time to get into this fully, but what they discovered was that there was a fault line at the Temple of Delphi. And the Temple of Delphi is up on the side of a hill. It's got a very spectacular view. And what the Temple of Delphi had was a lady that was in there, the priestess, and she sat on what they call a tripod. It was just a three-legged stool. And what she did, she, you know, dressed up. There were priests that were there, and the people would come in and say what they wanted. And then they would bring their request to the priestess, she would kind of put her head down over this hole in the rock, and out of this hole came fumes that were intoxicating. And farther in this video, they talk about what they believe that was. But some sort of a volcanic or from, you know, from inside the earth. And so she would sit there and get basically drunk. And then she would give her prophecies or her response to the request. So, and this went on for hundreds of years. And so over time, Delphi became the most important source of knowledge. And because, you know, remember that the Greeks, while they had philosophy, their religion was pagan. It was very primitive. And it was very superstitious. And so they didn't have a source book. They didn't have a codex like the Bible where you could go study subjects and look at how things had been done by other people. What you had was the myths. And so the myths carried with them a lot of training, a lot of, you know, this is how the gods think. This is how the gods do things. But don't forget the myths, the ancient myths of Rome and Greece, in this case Greece, the gods did wrong. And so there was a lot of infighting and there was a lot of revenge and everything. So it wouldn't be like, you know, reading the parables of Jesus or whatever. So the Oracle of Delphi is this extraordinarily important figure and an office. And so cities and towns would give enormous amounts of money for these Delphic statements. on public policy and such. And so at some point it gets destroyed, and Greece itself is kind of laid waste. And then the next great empire that rises up is the Roman Empire. And then they have something called the Sibylline Books, which I should go into sometime. But the Sibylline Books, I think they were 9 books that were offered to Rome for interpretive and prophetic purposes, and the Romans didn't want them, didn't want to pay the price, so they burned 3 of them, and then they offered them 6, and they didn't want them, so they burned 3 more. And there, I think there were 3 left. It's, the story goes something like that, and the Romans, who were very superstitious, became very alarmed that they were throwing direction and insight into the Roman kingdom down the toilet, and so they did end up buying the Sibylline prophecies, and that is in itself another extraordinary story. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, and hope you have a great weekend. Always wonderful to spend time with you, and have a good 2 days, and we'll meet back next week. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Ciao.
I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt,